Paul, Dustin Byfuglien and Dmitry Kulikov both out there. Are they looking like they could be players tomorrow night?
Yeah, we'll make all those decisions. We'll come tomorrow. So they got through it, felt good. And then we'll give it another 24 hours, see how they're feeling tomorrow.
Any update on the three players that weren't out there today?
I think we're all in the same boat. What do you got here?
Josh Morrissey, Andrew Kopp, and Joe Morrow.
Yeah, so I don't have Joe in for tomorrow. Again, we'll see how the other two guys come in tomorrow.
You mentioned that Andrew was going to undergo some more evaluation here. So
yeah, he got through those two games, played great, wasn't feeling good in the Islander game. We got two extra forwards, so we hauled him out, and he's back pushing himself in the weight room. So we're just kind of going day to day till he feels real good.
So it's possible it's not connected to the concussion that he was coming off?
Yeah.
Obviously, when you have a team like St. Louis that you've seen now, this will be four times in less than 2 months, sort of a quirk in the schedule. You guys have had some success against the Blues, all maybe different kind of games, very wide open at times. But what are you expecting from them tomorrow?
We don't usually take a look at games that we played a month ago and relate the two. I mean, if I was, the first game, Connor Hellebuyck was the best player on the ice. They were on the power play an awful lot, and he made just a whole bunch of saves. And I think, you know, they've had some injuries now based more on their last couple of games. I don't expect it to look like the last game. And we scored eight. A couple of them were unusual. They scored four. A couple of them were unusual. I don't think that's going to be related. I think it hits a reset tomorrow. And it goes back to the games that we're used to seeing between Winnipeg and St. Louis. It'll be physical, fast. The goalies will have to be good. And it, up until then, it was almost felt like one-goal games. Even the 5-1 game, in a lot of ways, is a one-goal game, right? It was even until it got broken open in the third. So I'll expect it goes back to what we normally see.
You had three very different games on the trip here. What did your players, think, learn out of that trip?
They were different. The similarities would be, you know, the New Jersey game was a really hard-fought game, not necessarily overly physical, but to compete for ice, to move the puck easily, that didn't happen. The Ranger game, I think we brought the Jersey game into it defensively. We were pretty darn good, didn't give up a whole lot, and were able to hold them and still put up some offense. And then the Islander game kind of reverted back to that Jersey game. So the theme between the three of them were our defensive sticks and our defensive positioning was very good on all three games. I think when we got to the Islander game, when you have the injuries that we have, there's a real strong awareness by our forwards that they needed help and did a marvelous job of helping and being really patient in our end of the ice. What we're hopeful for is that's an area we wanted certain. I thought we clearly it felt we were improving in that direction. Then we got to the Chicago game and didn't feel that we saw a lot of it. So it was maybe a reset for us to get back to playing well defensively and letting the offensive numbers. We didn't score as many as we could have in New York, but our offensive game was right, so that we generated enough offense to win on the road. But we definitely were good enough defensively to give ourselves a chance to win on the road.
Is that comeback something a team can lean on for a while? Or
it is. It's the emotion of those games. So an 8-4 game against St. Louis. It's exciting. Patty gets five, but there's not a Once the game gets to a certain point, there's not a lot of emotion left in it. I don't think there is much fun even to play. I mean, Patty had a good time, and his line mates did, but they're not contested kind of the same way. And those three games now, you had to fight really hard to either come back in the game or to hold the lead or just to battle. And the emotion on the bench is completely different. Every goal is a big kind of celebration in a good way. So that's what we're hoping for. We get to keep that emotion. You watch the camera after goals, right? Watch the reaction of the player, and it can usually tell you how important that goal was in a game. And there were a lot of smiling faces. Every goal was a big goal for us.
What did you learn about your team?
Well, you know what? I think they're maturing. I think one of the things we like is that you've got to accept the game that's being played. It's not just about your team. You know, we have an identity, and we want to play a certain way, but but the game that the other team plays impacts how it's going to look. And in New Jersey, and we accepted that right after the first period, it's going to look like this, and we got to get comfortable in that game. And it takes some maturity to do that. You know, we've got a bunch of guys that can score some goals, and we can move the puck and skate well. And you'd like for it to look like that every night, but the other team doesn't allow it. And the good team certainly will defend you hard enough and well enough and with enough skill that they can be effective at it. You've got to accept a certain game. It may be different in New York, but the difference, acceptance, was we were playing very well and right, and we found ourselves down 3 and didn't change that. You know, we didn't wake up or come alive or sleep through the first 2 periods. We played all 9 periods that we played were right. They looked a little bit different, but we accepted each game.
Was there something about those 3 defensemen, too, came up from the Blues?
Absolutely. So Sammy Niku, I thought, really built to the point that his Islander game was exciting for us. Got into some holes with some speed, but his reads defensively improved. Cam was probably, a veteran guy, but right from the minute he started, he looked comfortable out there, and Noj got kind of pressed in at the last minute and looked fast. He went back and broke some pucks out, made some good plays, got up the ice a little bit for us. So all 3 of them played very well. We never talk about it in the room, about, hey, fellas, we're short-staffed in any part of our game that we need to. There's an awareness there. But I would think having that experience, you know, when you think of, you know, when Mark Scheifele went down last year, that was a real inflection point, I thought, for our team. Blake goes into the middle. I think we got out of that 8-3-1, and that was a sign of depth for us that we hadn't had in the past. So I do think it carries over.
What goes into a team not allowing that to become an excuse?
There's a threshold. You take enough bodies out of a lineup, you're going to have a very difficult time winning. We got fairly close to the threshold, but it didn't cross. Like, we had 7 at times. That's about the number that you're going to have a hard time surviving the 8th guy going down. So if your mindset is that regardless of who's in your lineup, you're going to play a certain game, it gives you a chance. And you've had some success with that game, and you feel confident. But even with it, there's a number of guys. It's the National Hockey League, and when you get down to over a third of your playing group is injured, you're going to have a tough time winning.
Paul, in the last week, Dan Carcillo has brought forward hazing and the real threat it has against the hockey community. And Sean Mathias has even come out and said that you helped him through some troubling times. What are your thoughts on hazing currently in junior hockey right now?
There's no place anymore for, I guess maybe there wasn't any place before. I'm trying to think of when I played junior hockey. I gotta be careful to tell this story. Like, I remember being in the sweat box in the bus, right? There were 6 of us. And now, and clearly, I think what happens is there's lines crossed, what's acceptable and what's not, and all of the ones that aren't acceptable have to completely come out of the game. There's team building, there's team bonding. Where that line is moves depending on your perspective. So if a young person comes into a situation where he's left feeling violated, for lack of a better word, or completely or ostracized by the group, not made a part of it. The whole idea of all of it was to bring people in to your group, make them a part of your team. I know my last year, 93, we outlawed it in the Detroit Junior Red Wings. Now, I'm not invited to the team party, so, but from our point of view, there was no more head shave and eyebrow shave and all those things. We used to, in junior, used to come back, and there'd be 2 or 3 of your pro guys would come back with no hair. So we just outlawed it. And my understanding then is the vast majority of it's disappeared, and rightfully so. Sean's story, that's Sean's story to tell. How he went through it, I applaud him. I think he's courageous to come out, and because when they do, there's far less a chance that it continues. I think when people talk about it, when they tell their stories, and if it was a problem for them, I think they should, and there's no place for it now. The idea is, you know, bring players in and make them feel a part of it in a positive way. Anything that's outside of that can't be a part of your program, and it's, you know, maybe at times it's a difficult line to find between having fun and getting to a place you shouldn't. But I think it's important that those guys talk about it, because every junior team, every NHL team, every group of people get further away from it.